I'm John Nichols. I'm a composer and sound designer, and I had the great pleasure of composing the theme music for the RNLI 200 Voices podcast. The seas always, you know, provided a very powerful impetus to composers' imaginations, or certain composers' imaginations. You know, I think it's partly the romantic aspect of it, the beauty and the power and the danger and the dramas that are played out on the sea. I think, for example, a composer like Mendelssohn, who wrote a wonderful piece called Fingal's Cave about a trip to Fingal's Cave in the Hebrides. The sense you get from this very lush sort of romantic music is of the emotions that he was feeling on that trip, and it's very much about that sort of inner emotional romantic reaction. I think also, almost on a formal level, the sea is very interesting to think about from a musical perspective, because it's constantly changing and it's very dynamic and it's constantly shifting texture, the light, the energy, and the sort of the tension, the peace, the way it moves between the two. And these are all things that obviously we think about as composers when you're putting pieces of music together. You know, it's dynamics, tension and release, crescendos, an idea of landscape. That's another interesting thing, I think, the sense that at sea you have this horizon and then you have things moving at different speeds at different perspectives from you. Again, which I guess compositionally are interesting to think about. In my mind, it's structured around my idea of the various stages of a lifeboat rescue mission, starting with the idea of the crew rushing from their places of work or wherever they happen to be to the lifeboat station, building up to the launch, then a sense of sort of powering out to sea. Then, you know, there's a sort of more reflective moment where a sense of sort of scanning the horizon and perhaps a sense of the sort of the vastness and danger of the sea. And then the sort of the theme returns towards the end as on a sort of positive note, and basically the return to shore and safety. Although, you know, this is an incredible tradition going back 200 years, but it's an active modern organisation that's very much of the here and now. And so musically, it didn't want to feel like a museum piece or something particularly historical. And so I think what I was really focusing in on was the overall drama, and then a sort of narrative arc. I'll refer as I go along to this kind of movie I've got in my mind. So it begins with this sort of held, unresolved chord, which has a sort of sense of, not exactly tension, but sort of expectancy. That sense when you're a lifeboat volunteer that, you know, you can be called on at any moment. And then in the movie version in my mind, there's a sort of overhead tracking drone shot of people running from all parts of this seaside town to the lifeboat station. And this melodic sort of riff starts on the Northumbrian pipes, which has got quite a modal sort of folky sort of feel to it. Again, in my mind, that sort of being intercut with shots of the boat being got ready, and everyone sort of converging on the lifeboat station. It builds up and up and up to a great sort of climax and a big sort of whoosh, which in my mind is sort of the launch. Underneath that, right from the start, is a pulse, very, very simple, like sort of electronic kick drum pulse, kind of four on the floor, which in my mind is sort of to do with the engine, but I guess you could also hear it as, you know, a heartbeat, you know, somebody waiting to be rescued. And over the top of that pulse, I've overlaid this drum called a baran, big round drum, and you play it with this little wooden hammer, and you get these very elaborate sort of ding 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 ding. And if you overlay that on a fairly steady pulse, you get a very propulsive sort of feeling, and it's that sense of like constant energy and, you know, the boat powering along, and also the underlying impetus to sort of rescue someone. So the boat launches, and then the music sort of settles down after that big sort of build-up, and we get this theme for the first time, which you hear on strings, violin and cello. And again, that's very much to do with sort of that first sort of push out to sea from the lifeboat station. Instrumentation-wise, I did think at first about having this theme, which is it's a kind of constantly rising theme. Da 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 dee dum da 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 dum 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 da da dum da dum dum. So there's a sort of, I guess I was maybe thinking of sort of wave shapes, constantly sort of swelling, possibly increasing waves. What I love about strings, you know, violins and particularly cellos, is that there's a very vocal quality to them. They're incredibly human-sounding instruments. Very lyrical, can go very high and very sort of ethereal, but also be quite sort of gutsy. And I think, again, going to that sort of folk sort of influence, you know, bows on guts and strumming strings. And then we sort of build back up again. The theme comes back on the strings again, and then it sort of gathers itself and then builds back to a big climax, which in my mind is the rescue. And then we sort of end with a reprise of the riff from the beginning. As we sort of return to shore. And one of the finer element that is mixed in with that is the sounds of waves and gulls, because I very often incorporate natural sounds into music that I'm producing. I think people have quite a complicated relationship to gulls because they can be incredibly irritating. I remember one actually flying off with my daughter's purse when she was on holiday in St. Ives, which is bright yellow, and she left it on a bollard, and a gull came down and swooped off with it. But also there's something very, very beautiful and poetic about the way they fly, the lightness of their flight, the way they ride the winds, and this idea that certainly in the past the cries of the gulls have been related to the, you know, the souls of dead sailors. And those particular gulls I recorded in Aldborough on the Suffolk coast quite a number of years ago, and it's got a very particular kind of keening quality that I really like. It just seemed a nice way of sort of getting us into this piece of music and out again at the end. For a long time it was just called RNLI version 4.1.6, absolutely the final version, revision 2.0, that we're all, for anyone who works with digital files, is familiar with. But I didn't really have a title until more recently, and for a while I was thinking the title should be to do with the drama and, you know, the heroism and the sort of the mission. And actually, I thought, well, actually, in the end, it should probably be more, it'd be interesting to have a title that connected to the people being rescued. And so I think I'd probably like to call it Home and Dry, which is where we all want to be, ultimately. And, you know, whatever the circumstances that have led you to that particular predicament that you've been rescued from, that's the gift that the RNLI gives us, bringing us home and dry.
Hello, this is Jim Moyer, and you've been listening to the RNLI's 200 Voices collection. To hear more remarkable stories, head to rnli.org/200voices or subscribe to RNLI wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
200 Voices is produced for the RNLI by Adventurous Audio Limited.